News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Texas has recently experienced a disastrous statewide loss of power that has resulted in huge economic disruption and loss of life. Could this happen in Ireland? To discuss this, we're joined by Conor Skehan, former chair of the Housing Agency, lecturer in planning at the Technological University of Dublin, and John Gibbons, environmental journalist and commentator. Conor, you were writing about this in the Sunday Indo at the weekend, and you believe the government is in denial about our future need for gas, and that we could be looking at a Texas-type scenario.
Good morning. That's correct, yeah. I'm very concerned about the warnings that have been issued by AirGrid about an imminent capacity loss starting around 2025, 2026. And that is caused by a series of large generating capacities going offline earlier than expected, and the inability to substitute that with promised forms of renewables are indeed of gas generation. And the big concern, of course, is that Ireland is incredibly dependent on gas. It all comes in from a single source in Scotland. And if anything goes wrong with that, we're all in a lot of trouble. So that's the essence of it.
And just before I bring John in, what do you think we should be doing?
I think we need to anticipate the changes that we're going to make on the roadmap the government has, and have a contingency in it to ensure that if renewables don't come on as quickly or as effectively as is hoped, that there'd be a backup in the form of a continued availability of gas.
Okay. How about that, John Gibbons, a contingency backup plan?
Yeah, the article itself, if I can double back to that for a second, it was a very curious article. And the nub of Conor's argument, if I have him correctly, is that the reason why we had a major energy failure in Texas had something to do with the loss of renewables. Now, that is the nub of his article's point. You cannot depend on renewables. Now, that's really interesting because I looked at some international sources on this, for example, Reuters, Forbes, the Financial Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Texas Tribune. And all of these sources said that the idea that the principal reason why Texas was plunged into darkness was a failure of renewables is simply fake news. It's a myth. It's nothing else. Now, I don't know how you could write an entire article about this and be unaware that what happened was, and I quote, the overwhelmingly, the story of the Texas energy failure, according to ERCOT, which is their Electricity Reliability Council, it's overwhelmingly a story of failure of supposedly reliable thermal generation, mostly gas-fired. So in the middle of this extreme weather event, they lost about 40% of their coal capacity in Texas. About one in four of their nuclear plants went offline, and 80% of the loss of power in Texas was to do with gas-fired plants that went down.
And okay, let Conor respond to that. To be fair, Conor,
we could debate. My understanding is there's a commission actually examining it, and as John said, there's an awful lot of debate about what caused that. That's not the issue of the article. The article is examining what happens when you have an incorrectly managed system that doesn't take account of the need for resilience when you get big asymmetric shocks like that. I'm more than happy to concede that anybody might come up with a different conclusion when they finish their examination.
Okay. How about that, John Gibbons? We should be putting all our eggs in one basket, I think, is what Conor is saying.
Yeah, it's a pretty stunning statement by Conor, and I really appreciate his frankness in saying that the basic premise of his article in the Sunday Independent last Sunday was incorrect and not based in fact. And I think I applaud him for at least accepting that. But let's move on. Right, today, for example, right now, would you know, Conor, at this moment, roughly how much of, given that it's the conditions outside are almost, there's hardly a breath of air, would you know roughly how much of our grid is running on renewables this morning, roughly?
I know pretty exactly, because I usually check the AirGrid. AirGrid, for listeners, they have a fantastic smart grid dashboard that anybody can look up. So as we speak today, right now, the generation for wind, and I don't speak for the others, is 534 megawatts, and the demand is literally 10 times that, 4,301.
You must be on a different app. At the moment, Conor, it's 28%. Also, in your article, by the way, you mentioned...
It's the smart grid dashboard of AirGrid. And as I said, I check it most days to find out what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
That's the actual live.
Yeah, a couple of things from your article, Connor, if I could ask you. You mentioned the possibility, it's only a possibility of nearly a million EVs on the grid by 2030, and how that would bring, basically overload us with electricity demand, and another 600,000 heat pumps. Would you be able to tell us, Connor, roughly how many terawatts of additional energy demand those EVs and those heat pumps would apply, and what in percentage terms, what share of the grid would, if we added a million EVs and 600,000 heat pumps, what additional share of approximately would you think that would add to the grid, given that you've written this article? So I assume you've researched all these things.
You're getting Shane out of a job here now.
No, listen, far ahead, lads. I'm happy to sit here.
Well, I'll tell you what, Connor, I imagine you don't have those figures. I'll give them to you, right?
If oh, well, we hang have... on, hang on. Let Connor respond now. You've
Sorry,
asked
Connor,
him a question.
Go ahead.
The substitution of the heat pump system and the renewables is a very complex figure to estimate the precise loading of it because of substitution and changes in behavior.
I can give you the figures.
These are modeled estimates, but please continue.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Just briefly, unfortunately, we are almost out of time, John, so just very briefly.
As fast as I can, if we added a million EVs, it would add approximately 7% to 2030 forecast demand, the same for 600,000 heat pumps. So in total, it would add 15% to it. The other thing, of course, about
this... So what's your point, just quickly, what's your point?
The point very quickly is that Connor is engaged in simple scaremongering. He doesn't like renewable energy. He doesn't acknowledge, by the way, anywhere in this article, the fact that we have to...
Okay, we have you. Connor, I have to put it to you, to give you a chance to respond. You're engaging in scaremongering.
I've been working in renewables for over 30 years. I'm incredibly familiar with the sector and all of its various different challenges. And somebody pointing out a challenge is not a scaremonger.
Okay, gentlemen, fascinating. I wish we had more time to talk to you both, Conor Skehan and John Gibbons. Thank you both for talking to News Talk Breakfast.